Hey there, and welcome to episode 9 of Cyberpunk Librarian, podcasting podcasts. I'm Daniel Messer. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, and for the next few minutes and for this episode, we're going to be talking about podcasts, some of my favorite podcasts, and why I listen to them and why I think you might enjoy them as well. So, I listen to podcasts for a lot of reasons that some people might not listen to podcasts, and I'll get into that here in a minute. But hey, welcome back, and thank you for tuning into this episode. It is so good to be back in front of a microphone again. I've got myself a nice cup of coffee here because I've still got this cold thing going on, and I hope you forgive me. I might cough a couple times during this. Because I'm asthmatic, anytime I get a cold or, you know, the sniffles or whatever, it pretty much settles in my chest and takes up residence there for about a month, sometimes a month and a half. And it's more of a nuisance than anything else. The cold has gone away. You can hear a little congestion in my voice, and that's just because it's in my chest as well. But yeah, if I cough, I do apologize. It's just a nuisance now. It's not really a problem, but every now and then I get on one of these little coughing jags where I'm bent over and people want to call 911 or something like that. So I don't think that's going to happen during this show, but if it does, I will edit it out and apologize for it after I do. So, okay, we're going to talk about podcasts from the sounds of things. And I listen to podcasts for reasons that other people might not because I'm a podcaster myself. Now, they say if you want to be a good writer, you should read a lot of books. If you want to be a good video producer or a video editor, you should look at a lot of videos. Well, likewise, I think if I want to be a better podcaster, I should listen to a lot of podcasts because I pick up tips and tricks, production ideas, just different things as to how one podcaster might do something a little different from how I do it. And maybe they do something better, or maybe it affirms that I'm doing it the right way, at least in my own opinion. So I listen to podcasts not only for the entertainment educational value, but for ideas as to how to make my own podcast better. So I'm going to talk about a few of my favorite podcasts today, and maybe you might like them too. Now, these are not all librarian podcasts. They're not all tech-related podcasts. I tried to throw in a good sampling here because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have something like a 40-minute commute from where I live to work. I live in Queen Creek, Arizona, and I commute to Phoenix pretty much every Monday through Thursday because I work 4 10-hour days. So the distance from Queen Creek, Arizona to Phoenix, Arizona is roughly 40 to 45 miles, somewhere in there. And if the traffic's with me, that's fine. I'm usually there in about 45 minutes to an hour. But while I'm on the road, I do like to listen to the podcasts. I don't know. I've never gotten into audiobooks as a thing. I found that, you know, I can read a book a heck of a lot faster than I can listen to one. So I listen to a ton of podcasts instead. And these range in scope and topic from designs to technology to science to all kinds of different things. So we're going to get into that. Hopefully you find something you might want to listen to yourself. As always, I will have links to all of these podcasts in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, and you can pick up the links to those shows there. As always, you can subscribe to them in iTunes or through your own RSS reader or podcaster app of choice. We could talk about podcasting apps here very soon. I should do a show about that because that's its own show. But yeah, whatever podcasting app you use on whatever device or computer that you use, you should be able to pick these up through their own websites and things like that. So let's go ahead and dive into things and get into some favorite podcasts. good podcast, not only do I need to be interested in the topic, but the person that's presenting the podcast and, you know, that is sitting in front of the mic is also highly important to me as well, because it really doesn't matter if the topic is interesting or something that I'm very passionate about. If you have someone sitting in front of the microphone that is Ben Stein levels of boredom, then yeah, that's not going to be a good podcast. That's not going to be a good time. So for me, a good podcast not only has an interesting or compelling topic, it also should have a really decent presenter. So all of the podcasts I'm about to talk about have really good presenters along with interesting topics, and they kind of fall in line with my interests as well, and perhaps yours. Maybe you'll find something here that might appeal to you, and I hope you do. So to kick things off, I'm going to start with a podcast that has absolutely nothing to do with libraries or technology at all. And indeed, this podcast is about the world around us in some ways, but it's the world around us that you don't always see, because this podcast is about design. And the name of the podcast is 99% Invisible with Roman Mars. Roman Mars has a background in National Public Radio. He has got the smoothest voice that I've ever heard on anything. He is just really, really good at presenting any topic. And the voice that he has is, it's almost like a parody of NPR voices in some ways, because it is that sort of Saturday Night Live sort of parody thing where they make fun of NPR with the quiet voices and they all talk like this and they're very soothing and things like that. And there's always these little pauses so you can take in what they're saying. Roman Mars does talk like that, but he's got a great voice, and the podcast 99% Invisible is absolutely excellent. 99% Invisible is, like I said, about design, and the name of the podcast comes from an old saying. I'm not sure who said it, but the old saying is that good design is 99% invisible. So if you look around you right now, I mean, you know, literally you can just take a look around. I don't care where you're sitting. You are looking at a designed world. This world around you is designed, and chances are you don't even notice it. But if you're sitting in a chair, if you're driving down the road, if you're, you know, just sitting on a couch listening to this podcast or whatever, you have to realize that the couch that you're sitting on, the chair that you're sitting in, if you're driving, then that steering wheel itself, someone had to design that. Someone had to draw that out and figure out how that was going to work and how it was going to look and what might be the best way to make a couch, chair, or steering wheel. And that's what 99% Invisible is all about. The things around us that you might not notice just because they're always there. One of their latest episodes, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but it was Utabath, I think is how they pronounced it. And what that is short for is used to be a Pizza Hut. And if you've ever seen a Pizza Hut building, especially one from like the late 70s, early 80s, you'll notice that most Pizza Huts look alike. They have a specific kind of architecture. And this show was all about Pizza Huts that have gone out of business for one reason or another, and something has moved into that building, but you can tell that, you know, even though the Pizza Hut is gone, that building used to be a Pizza Hut. And why the architecture is so similar and why it has that, you know, it evokes a feeling of Pizza Hut and all of that stuff. But beyond architecture, they talk about the design of ordinary things, from buildings to phones to books and graphic design and whatever. 99% Invisible is a great show if you're just interested in kind of how the world around you kind of came to be. Because after all, everything that we use, pretty much everything that you touch, has been designed. So moving on. This next podcast is kind of technology focused, but I say kind of because it's a very sort of open-ended kind of podcast where they talk about tech, but they talk about a lot of things that aren't tech. The name of this one is Bad Voltage, and it's got four presenters. Sometimes all four of them are there. Sometimes it's just three. But for the most part, you're looking at four people. Jono Bacon, who is the Ubuntu community manager, Stuart Langridge, a.k.a. Ack, who is a developer and web guy, and absolutely hilarious individual. And you've got Jeremy Garcia, who is a geek's geek, and Brian Lunduke, who is not only a writer of all things Linux, but was a founding member and sort of the founder itself of the Linux Action Show, which I'll be talking about a little later. But so you've got four gentlemen there, and they are all big into free and open source software. But that's not all they talk about. Bad Voltage isn't just about technology and software and the open source movement and all that. The show kind of follows a set format. And the great thing about that format is you kind of know what's coming, but it's still very free form. So even though you know there's going to be sort of a topic that they're going to discuss, all four of them, and even though you know there's going to be a product review and there's going to be an interview, you don't really know what those things are going to bring. They introduce what they're going to do and kind of set an agenda at the beginning of each show, so you kind of know what's coming. But it's the conversation these people have that make it so good and make it such a great podcast, because you know, these are basically just four guys that could be sitting at a table in a pub someplace drinking beer and talking about events of the day and throwing jabs and barbs at each other. And it's absolutely hilarious. All four of them are funny, but Stuart Langridge himself is absolutely hilarious. And you've got two people from the UK, because Jono and Stuart are from the UK, and Jeremy and Brian are from the United States. So not only do they not always talk about free and open source software and technology and things like that, they talk about anything that kind of tweaks their interest. There was a show not that long ago where sort of the topic of discussion was gun control. And that was interesting if for no other reason than the fact that you have to remember that, you know, there are two people from the UK involved, and the UK has amazing levels of gun control if you compare it to the United States. So you get sort of both sides of the pond and how they look at firearms and guns and all of that. And, you know, yes, it's a technology podcast at heart, kinda, but that was an interesting discussion. It was, you know, very much a scratching the surface kind of thing, because they do try and stick to a time limit. But still, very good. It's worth checking out, if for nothing else than just to listen to these guys have a conversation and make fun of each other and just hear some of the conclusions they come to and how they got there. Next up is a brand new podcast. I think this one's only about 6 or 7 episodes old. It's being built as an experiment. It's one of those where they're going to try and do 10 episodes and we'll see how it goes from there. Well, I don't think they're going to have any problem hitting 10 episodes. I don't think they're going to ever run out of material, because the hosts of this podcast are two well-known YouTubers, and they've made a jump from YouTube into the podcasting realm to talk about some of the things that they do on YouTube and technology and education. And education is very much the central focus of Hello Internet. Hello Internet features CGP Grey and Brady Heron. Now, if you haven't checked these people out on YouTube, you really need to. CGP Grey is a fascinating individual, and he may either be a Vulcan or a robot. I'm not sure which. As you listen to the podcast, you'll find that CGP Grey is highly logical, very much so, almost scary logical. And that's fine. That's fine. It makes him who he is. But CGP Grey has a great voice. He has a great voice for doing YouTube videos. He has a great voice for podcasting. And Brady Heron has not only a great voice, but he has got more educational channels on YouTube than PBS. I can almost guarantee it, because not only does Brady Heron have channels like Number File for mathematics and things like that, but he's got Computer File, which is about the science of computers, then 60 Symbols, which is about the symbols that scientists use. It's very much a science and mathematics-oriented set of channels, and they're all very educational and well done. Brady knows how to make awesome videos, as does CGP Grey. So when you kind of put them both in front of a microphone to talk to each other, it becomes this interesting dynamic, because CGP Grey has a background in physics, and he used to be a teacher. He apparently did quit his teaching job to focus on making educational YouTube videos, and he's trying to make a living off that. Brady, on the other hand, has a background in journalism. He used to work for a newspaper. So what happens in the course of the conversation is they pick a topic that they're going to work on, whatever that topic may be. And CGP Grey will typically talk about his view on it. And then Brady, just sort of by training and by personality, will start questioning him on that. We'll start questioning CGP Grey as to, you know, why do you believe that? Well, what if such and such happens? And isn't this a logical conclusion that you could draw? And what about this? So not only is it a conversation, sometimes it's almost like an interview. But you can tell that they're good friends. They have a lot of fun talking about whatever it is they're talking about. And it just makes for an entertaining podcast. The nice thing about podcasting is there are sort of two different sides of how a podcast can be done. There are sort of the really simple podcasts where, you know, let's sit down with a microphone in front of us and press the shiny red button and start talking. And then there are podcasts that are really sort of well produced and have time and forethought that go into how we're going to talk about these things and what kind of background music we might use. Do we need sound effects? Do we need on-scene recording and stuff like that? So you have both ends of the spectrum here, where with 99% Invisible, Roman Mars has a background from National Public Radio, and 99% Invisible is 100% professional in its production. It has, you know, background music and intercut with things from interviews and different scenes and vignettes and stuff like that that he puts into the podcast that really helps to tell the story. Whereas Hello Internet doesn't really even have an opening song or title sequence or anything like that. It has a quick sort of special effect that has a mathematical secret buried in it, if you can figure out what that is. It's very geeky, but also very simple, but also a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out, especially if they make it past their 10 podcasts and keep on going. CGP Grey worries that they're going to run out of things to talk about. I have no such concern, and neither does Brady, and I'm with Brady on this. I think they can talk about anything, and it will probably be just fine. So moving on, Nightwise.com is the next one on my list, and I have to give a lot of shout-outs to Nightwise himself, because Nightwise gave me several ideas as to how to make a really good-sounding podcast without spending, you know, tons and tons of time on. I mean, you can tell with, say, 99% Invisible, Roman Mars probably spends hours on a podcast. And don't get me wrong, I do too. Between coming up with ideas, making notes, picking out music, things like that, I probably spend, you know, a fair amount of hours making a podcast before I even sit down with the microphone in front of me. Nightwise does too, obviously. He does his research and he does his due diligence, but he also designs a quality podcast. Now, Nightwise is a technology-focused podcast, but Nightwise also taught me something that I already knew, but I didn't have words for it. And what that is a while back, I found that I got tired of the whole Mac versus PC versus Windows versus iOS versus Linux versus Android versus whatever. I found that I kind of liked everything, and that OS X was better for certain things than Windows has, and Windows is better for certain things than Linux is, but Linux is better for certain things than the other two, and there's nothing wrong with iOS. iOS is a beautiful operating system with its own ups and downs, just like Android is too, and I found that rather than picking a side, I could just use all of them. Now, I didn't have a word for that, but Nightwise gave me a word for it. He calls it sliding, and people who do this thing where they move between operating system and operating system are called sliders. So I proudly call myself a slider, thanks to Nightwise. And his technology-focused podcast is Hacks, Tips, and Tweaks for Cross-Platform Geeks. So if you are like me, where you have sort of one of everything and have to use one of everything, this is really the podcast for you, because just sitting here at my desk recording this podcast, I'm talking into a microphone that's attached to a Mac Mini, which is sitting over here on the desk next to my work laptop, which dual boots Windows 7 and Elementary OS, which is a flavor of Linux. So right there, I've got the three big operating systems right here in front of me. I've got my MacBook Air that I carry with me everywhere. So, of course, it's running OS 10 Mavericks. It's sitting next to my Android phone. And the only reason I don't have my my iPhone here, my old iPhone 4S, is because my father-in-law is borrowing it because he broke his, and we're letting him use that until he gets a replacement. So I use everything, and Nightwise really helps you fold that into your way of life and make technology work for you. That is his central focus, making the technology work for you. I've done some collaborative work with Nightwise. I think not only have I, you know, worked with him before on a couple projects, but we talk a bit on the Voxer and online. Absolutely great gentleman from Belgium. And if you have any interest in technology and how to make multiple forms of technology work for you, no matter what system you're using, Nightwise.com is a podcast you should definitely check out. I think he's on a bit of a hiatus right now. He's got some things that he's working on, some projects. So there's nothing new in the pipeline for the last few weeks, but I'm sure the podcast will be returning soon. The great news is you can go back and hit episodes from the distant, you know, sort of like the last 4 or 5 months and still find all kinds of great stuff in there. Still relevant, still useful, absolutely long shelf life for things that you can do on your own with the technology you have. So keeping with the technology bent, let's go on to those operating systems that I was talking about. And I try and keep up with the big three, which is OS X, Windows, and Linux, to kind of make sure that I know what's going on in the world and what's going on with those systems. Because I use them all the time. Not a day goes by that I don't touch one of those systems. I usually wind up touching all three of them. As a web guy for a library, at the very least, I have to make sure our page and our sites and our things work on everything. So if I put up a new site or something like that, or I've got something new that I'm adding to the website that is a little different, it might not be our sort of standard thing. Yeah, I check it on everything. I check it on Safari. I check it on Chrome and WaterFox and Firefox. And then I pop on over to Linux and I'll check it on Chrome for Linux and whatever. I will check it everywhere. So I try and keep up with what's going on with the big three. And the first one that I will usually listen to on that is MacBreak Weekly. Now, MacBreak Weekly is from the TWiT network, the This Week in Tech network. And that is, of course, Leo Laporte's sort of podcasting network. And if you've been following technology for a while, you would definitely know who Leo Laporte is. He's basically the granddaddy of all podcasters because he went from a career in radio and television to running probably the biggest podcasting network on the internet now. All tech focused for the most part, with a couple of exceptions here and there on the network. But MacBreak Weekly is fun, if for no other reason than the fact that you typically have four people involved. You'll have Leo Laporte himself, Andy Anatko, who I'll talk about a little bit more in the next few minutes, Rene Ritchie from iMore.com, a great Macintosh and iOS news site, and Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Core. Now, Alex also has a background in video and computer animation and design. He actually used to work for Industrial Light and Magic and did work on the Star Wars films, the prequels, not the originals. So we're talking some heavyweight people that really know Mac hardware and software. Andy Anatko is a tech reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He has sources within Apple that he can talk to. So these are four people that really understand iOS and OS X and Macintosh and Apple. And when they sit down, they don't really do a news show so much as they do an analysis. So they'll talk about what's happened in that, you know, in the last week, in the last 7 days. And then they analyze it. What does it mean? Apple's doing this new thing. What does that mean for people? Does this mean something different for consumers versus professionals? Things like that. If you have a tech bent and you're into the things with Apple logos on them, you really should check out MacBreak Weekly. It's a fun podcast. Typically runs, you know, fairly long. Some episodes are around 2 hours long. Good stuff, though. Moving forward, here's a podcast that's kind of about everything. Sometimes it's about tech. Sometimes it's about movies. Sometimes it's about music. Sometimes it's about books. And Either way, no matter what it's about, still untitled The Adam Savage Project is never boring because of the two words that I just said, Adam Savage. Now, if you don't know who Adam Savage is, I suggest you get yourself the Discovery Channel and start watching some Mythbusters, because, of course, Adam Savage is the sort of animated Mythbuster to Jamie Hyneman's stoic and reserved Mythbuster. So this podcast features Adam and two co-hosts talking about sort of whatever they're going to talk about that week. Sometimes it's the shiny new tech thing on the block, because Adam is a raving Apple geek, but Adam's also got a background in special effects and cinema, so they'll talk about a movie that they all liked and how the movie was made, or they'll talk about a book, or they'll talk about some kind of thing in Adam Savage's man cave, which basically is his special effects garage. So it could be anything from how to build something to how something works to how they made something work in a film. Either way, it's never boring. Adam Savage is, of course, hilarious on his own. It's nice that he can cut loose on a podcast and sort of really talk about the things that he wants to talk about without worrying that, you know, he's going to piss off an advertiser with the Discovery Channel or something like that. This is his own thing. It's his own project, and it's absolutely worth checking out. If I have any complaint about Still Untitled, it's that it's usually running a bit short. Anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes is sort of the standard length of a Still Untitled episode. And boy, oh boy, I could listen to that thing for an hour, hour and a half. Wouldn't bother me a bit. So check it out. Great sort of snack-sized podcast there. And another podcast that's sort of about everything, and that I kind of mentioned previously, is the Inatco Almanac. Now, the Inatco Almanac is, of course, Andy Inatco, who I mentioned on Mac Break Weekly. And Andy Inatco, as I said, is a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He writes about technology in general, not just Apple, but he does kind of have an Apple focus. So much so that when Andy Inatco switched from iPhone to an Android phone last year, I think it was last year, it actually made a huge wave of interest in why he might have done this, because he unfortunately has the reputation for being an Apple fanboy, and he's not. Andy is very fair when it comes to reporting the news about Apple or Microsoft or whoever else. And if Apple's screwing up, he will be the first to call them out on why he thinks they're screwing up. But he has an Apple focus. He's used Macintosh and Apple products for years. So when he switched from, you know, the iPhone to Android, it very much was a Dylan Goes Electric kind of thing. But the Inatco Almanac isn't always about technology, because Andy's background in journalism also takes him into things like movie criticism. Before he started becoming, you know, a well-known tech writer, he wanted to pursue a career in movie critiquing. And, you know, to that end, he was good friends with Roger Ebert, the late Roger Ebert, who passed last year, who also worked for the Chicago Sun-Times. So they knew each other. They'd talked. They were friends. And Andy has a deep understanding of cinema and the art of cinema. So they could have an Inatco Almanac about movies. One of the first, if not the first, Inatco Almanac. I don't remember, but it was one of the first episodes, was about White Christmas, the sort of classic Christmas movie, and why it's not actually a very good movie. And I grew up watching White Christmas, and after Andy was done talking about White Christmas and why it's not a very good movie, I found sort of my entire view changed about it, because things that I hadn't really noticed that weren't obvious to me at the time sort of came out, and I learned something. Now, I still like the movie. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate White Christmas, and neither does he. But that's just an example of how a good podcast can make you question your views and things that you've always sort of held as just rote memory thing. I've always watched White Christmas during the Christmas season, and now when I watch it, it's with a sort of half smile on my face, like suddenly I'm in on a joke. Beyond that, Andy Inatco is a huge comic geek, so they can have a show about comics or movies or technology or Apple or Android or whatever. And the great thing is Andy Inako is funny. He's got a great voice to listen to. He's witty. He's quick. He can come up with all kinds of things just sort of right on the spot. And that makes for a great and entertaining podcast. So if you're into something like that, you got to check it out. Inako Almanac episodes tend to run about maybe an hour long, give or take a few minutes. They always say that they shoot for like 35 to 45 minutes. And I think they've hit that target maybe once or twice in the episodes they've done. Either way, good stuff. He and Dan Benjamin, who is the head of the 5x5 podcasting network, have a great banter back and forth. And it's definitely worth checking out if you've got any sort of geeky bent or you just sort of want something different to listen to. Moving back to tech for a minute, there's a couple podcasts that I have to kind of lump together because they're kind of about the same topic and they're on the same podcasting network, but they have different approaches to it. And this is on the Jupiter Broadcasting Network. And the two podcasts are the Linux Action Show and Linux Unplugged. And I don't even know if you could call these sister podcasts or something like that, because they're more like evil twins. The Linux Action Show is, in my view, the weekly podcast about Linux news. Just like MacBreak Weekly is what I tune into to get the latest on Apple news and analysis of Apple news and things like that. That's exactly what the Linux Action Show is to me for not only Linux, but free and open source software projects and projects. So the Linux Action Show is on the Jupiter Broadcasting Network, which is Chris Fisher's domain. I've talked to Chris Fisher just a little bit online. I've traded some emails with him. And the thing that got me about Chris is he did a funny sort of April Fool's episode of Linux Action Show a while back called the Windows Action Show, as I believe is what he called it. So for April Fool's, they talked about Microsoft stuff and made fun of Microsoft and Windows. And it was very geeky. It was very funny. And I believe it was on Google Plus that I posted that, oh my God, this show was hilarious. And they had this bumper music that was a sort of catchy little tune made from Windows sound effects. I said, I could listen to that all day. And I pinged Chris on that just to let him know that, hey, I'm talking about your show and I think you did a great job. About an hour later, I got another ping from him saying, I'll just leave this here. And he gave me a link to a Dropbox. I was like, okay. So I clicked the link and it takes me to a shared Dropbox folder that has that song in it. He didn't have to do that. He doesn't know who I am. I've never met Chris Fisher. I've talked to him online a couple times. But that sort of fan service where it's like, oh, someone likes my show. And, oh, someone wants to, you know, comment and they like this bumper music that I use. So I'll just give it to them. That's really cool. That's really cool. Beyond that, the Linux Action Show is a great show about Linux. It used to be him and Brian Lunduke, who I mentioned in the Bad Voltage podcast just a few minutes ago. But Brian Lunduke retired, kind of. I don't know how you can retire from a podcast. I don't think he was getting benefits, but you know what I mean. So Brian Lunduke stopped doing Linux Action Show and kind of did his own thing for a while before joining up with the guys on Bad Voltage. So now it's Chris Fisher and Matt Hartley. And Matt Hartley is a geek's geek. I really like Matt. He's open and honest. He's very straightforward about what's going on in open source technology. And not only is he sort of an open source guy, but he's also got a PR background. So when someone screws up in open source and kind of totally mishandles a public relations thing, Matt Hartley can tell you why it was such a screw up. And that in itself is interesting because as it happens, even the big companies like Ubuntu and Canonical and even Microsoft and Apple, they every now and then really screw something up when it comes to just talking to their consumers. And hearing Matt's analysis on that is quite interesting. So not only do you get the sort of open source side of things, you also get the public relations side of things as to, you know, how something could have been handled or how it could have been handled better. So Linux Action Show is very much sort of the weekly news show about Linux, but they've got another weekly news show on Jupiter Broadcasting with the same same hosts, Chris Fisher and Matt Hartley, that's called Linux Unplugged. And Linux Unplugged is kind of like the rated R version of the Linux Action Show, where they drop the F-bomb occasionally and will roll out some cussing and swearing. But they also have a chat room. And by chat room, I don't mean like an IRC channel or something. I mean, they've got a Mumble room. Now, if you don't know what Mumble is kind of like internet relay chat or a chat room where people can come in and talk. But instead of typing out what they're talking about, they talk. They can talk just like I'm talking to you. So it's almost like an old-fashioned party line where everybody can kind of hear who's saying what. And it's kind of like being in a room with a bunch of people. So with Linux Unplugged, they will often open things up to the chat room and say, hey, what do you think about such and such? And you'll find all kinds of interesting people in the chat room. Occasionally, I seem to recall at least once or twice, Alan Pope, who does the Ubuntu UK podcast, Popey, as he's sometimes called, who's also deeply involved with the open source and Ubuntu community, was in there, and he was able to give some great insight on something. So Linux Unplugged not only typically is a more relaxed and sort of laid-back show, but it's got that aspect where there's a chat room involved, and unlike a radio show where someone calls into the show and, you know, thank you, caller, you're on the air, he just turns it on. It's like, hey, guys, what do you think about such and such? And flips a switch, and now they can talk. And since it's sort of a I hesitate to use the, you know, to say it's rated R. That's just sort of my way of describing it. But since it's not supposed to be sort of the family-friendly oriented show like Linux Action Show is, they're not as worried about what people will say. So it's good. It's interesting. It's sort of like Linux Action Show going a lot deeper, because you'll typically find deeper analysis on Linux Unplugged. I'm going to get one more tech podcast here before I wrap up with what is probably one of the greatest podcasts ever made. And like I said, I like to hit the big three. So I've hit Mac, I've hit Linux, and now I need to hit Windows. And for that, I go back to the Twit Network and do Windows Weekly with Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott, and Mary Jo Foley. Now, sue me if you don't like me, but I really think Paul Thurrott is hilarious to listen to. He's got a great voice. He's got a dry sense of humor that just resonates really well with me. And I get so upset sort of internally when people refer to him as a Microsoft fanboy or something like that. Because if people who do that, because this is the man that runs the supersite for Windows, this is a guy who's been writing about Microsoft for years. But all you have to do is listen to one episode of Windows Weekly to realize that he is not a Microsoft fanboy. He covers Microsoft, he uses Microsoft, and yes, he likes Microsoft products. But when Microsoft does something stupid, wow, he lays out why it was stupid and who made this mistake and why they shouldn't have done this and all of that. So this man is brutally honest, with a dry sort of Bostonian sense of humor that I like listening to him. It's great, because when he cracks a joke, it's usually so well put that, you know, I can't help but at least chuckle and occasionally just laugh out loud. Beyond Paul Thurrott, you've got Mary Jo Foley, who kind of brings a balance to the force, if you want to look at it that way. Because you got Leo Laporte and Paul, who are both into gaming and Xbox One and Xbox Live and Call of Duty and all of that, where Mary Jo could not care less about gaming. She's into enterprise technology, and that kind of gives you a nice balance, because where Paul and Leo tend to talk about the consumer-focused versions of Microsoft stuff, Mary Jo comes in with what's happening in server technology and what's happening in the enterprise. And that's interesting to me as a library IT person, because after all, I work with Windows servers day in and day out, multiple Windows servers running different version of Windows Server. And it's nice to know, hey, you know, this is something that happened in the community recently, and this is something that Microsoft's doing, and hey, there's this new thing that's coming out, and that might make my job easier. So you get a great balance there, And it's not, you know, rah-rah Microsoft, because, wow, if you're doing rah-rah Microsoft, that doesn't make any sense anyway. For the same reason, it doesn't make any sense to do rah-rah Apple or rah-rah Ubuntu and open source. All three operating systems and philosophies have their advantages and disadvantages. So Windows Weekly hits my Windows focus, whereas MacBreak Weekly hits my Apple focus, and the Linux Action Show and Linux Unplugged hit my free and open source and Linux focus. Now, like I said, this is not a complete list of the podcasts I listen to. I've got plenty more, but I could be here for an hour, maybe two, doing nothing but talking about podcasts, and I don't want to keep you that long. But I have to bring this one up, because it is without doubt one of the greatest podcasts ever made. It's funny, it's creepy, it has absolutely no focus in technology, and is harkening back to the sort of old radio show style of storytelling. This is a podcast called Welcome to Night Vale. And if you haven't listened to this, go ahead, just stop this one. It's cool. Stop this podcast. I'll wait. I'll be here when you get back. And go subscribe to Welcome to Night Vale. Start with the first episode and just mainline that puppy. It's like watching a Netflix. Yeah, it's like sitting down and watching Netflix and just mainlining a TV series where you're going to watch an entire season in 2 days or whatever. Just do that with Night Vale. You won't be sorry, I promise. Night Vale is Welcome to Night Vale is this show about a small town somewhere in the Southwest where I live, so that kind of hits closer to home, called Night Vale. And the entire thing is done as a sort of community radio thing where you've got this guy and it's a local radio station and he's really only broadcasting to the town. Yet the things that go on in this town are absolutely insane and funny and creepy and weird. It's sort of like, what if Twin Peaks were funny? If you've ever seen Twin Peaks, you know that Twin Peaks really was not funny. But what if it was? Well, then you'd have something kind of akin to Night Vale. So in the end, you've just got one guy talking into the mic, and he gives things about the news, and the news sometimes doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then they go to the weather, and the weather is always a song by an indie group or an independent rock band or someone like that. And the music is usually absolutely excellent, so I look forward to the weather. Then there's the traffic report, and sometimes the words from their sponsors, just the, like the quote-unquote commercial that they have, is just, I mean, it's absolutely knee-slapping hilarious sometimes, where you wonder if there's a point to what he's saying, and why he's talking about the darkness that envelops our psyche and the visions that we see in the dark and how they're not visions. They're actually portals into another world. Drink Coca-Cola. I can't do it like Cecil does, who is the host of Night Vale, but you've got to check this out. They're up to like 50 some odd episodes now. I think episodes tend to be about half an hour long or so. They're not very long. And literally, if you like this kind of thing, you'll probably just sit down. You'll start with episode one, and then you'll just keep going until you can't go any further because something comes up that you absolutely have to stop listening to the show and go do. The funny thing about Night Vale itself, and Welcome to Night Vale, is just out to the sort of southeast of Queen Creek, where I live, Queen Creek, Arizona, there is a place called Santan Valley. And for some reason, every time I think of Night Vale, I think of Santan Valley and Apache Junction. It just, the area seems right. And if you go out, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 miles, out in the middle of this empty field, there's nothing there. It looks like it could be a farm or something where they grow some things. But just out in the middle of this empty field is a massive radio tower. This thing has to be 10 to 12 stories high, sitting in the middle of a field for no reason at all. And every time I drive by that, I kind of smile to myself and think, you know, if there is a Night Vale and there is a Cecil broadcasting his community radio show to the citizens of Night Vale, warning them to stay out of the dog park and warning them to beware of the sheriff's secret police and the black helicopters. Every time I pass that radio tower, it's like, wow, I wonder if he's in there. It just, it seems to make sense that that is where he would be. So it's great fun. It's a funny podcast. It's a creepy podcast. It's kooky. It's sort of Adam's Family meets Twin Peaks. It's great. It's also one of the best story-related podcasts I've ever heard because it tells a story. And you don't really have to pick it up at the first episode, but just go ahead and pick it up at the first episode. You'll thank me. I guarantee you. So that's it for this round of my favorite podcasts. Like I said, this is not a complete list of everything I listen to. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I listen to them for various reasons, not only for the informational and educational aspect, but like the Nightwise.com podcast, I lifted or stole or borrowed ideas from him on how to make a podcast with some music in it, how to make an interesting podcast by using music, and all kinds of things like that. So I listen to podcasts not only for the entertainment, but also for ideas on how to make my own podcast more interesting and enjoyable. So if you have a favorite podcast, if you have something that you would like to recommend, by all means, drop it in the comments or drop me a line at the website. You can drop a note in the comments at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Just look for this episode 9, Podcasting Podcasts. Or, you know, drop me an email at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. I will be happy to compile a list of people's favorite podcasts. So maybe we can share some information, share some knowledge, and of course, share some entertainment. Because, hey, if you're anything like me, I've got a heck of a commute pretty much every morning. And having a good podcast makes that commute so much better. So hey, thank you for tuning into this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I hope you picked up some great ideas for podcasts that you might like to listen to, or some topics that you might like to check out and, you know, just explore. The world of podcasting is very large, and there is a podcast out there for any topic that you might care to have an interest in. If you if you'd like to share some podcasts that you like to listen to, or a favorite one that you enjoy on a regular basis, why not share it with me? Go ahead and drop a note or a comment at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Or if you like, you can just email me the podcast. I'm cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. You can send it however you like. And I'll make sure that we kind of get a list together if I get any suggestions or whatever. And hey, I'll check out whatever you recommend as well, because I've got quite the open list of podcasts. Like I said, this is not my full list. This is just some of the ones that I make sure to listen to every time a new episode shows up in my podcatcher. If you'd also like to get a hold of me through other means, I am at Bibrarian on Twitter. That's Bibrarian. It's like librarian, but with a B. You can hit me up on Twitter or check me out on Google Plus. I am google.com/plusDanielMesser. You can hit me that way. So drop me a line, send me an email, just get in touch. If you've got an idea for a show or something you'd like me to talk about, hey, I'm ready to hear it and I'm ready to talk about it. The music you're listening to right now is Journey to the Center of Jah by the Polish Ambassador. You can pick that up on the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. Great stuff there. Stuff that's too cool for radio, too good for radio, things that you'll never hear on the radio because, hey, sometimes the radio just doesn't play all the good stuff. Check out the Free Music Archive for anything you might need for a podcasting or video venture, whatever. Good stuff. Sometimes it's just fun to hit play and see what happens. The opening track is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita, and I will have links to all of that kind of thing at the website, cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. You can check those out, download them, listen to them on your own, maybe find something else you like at the Free Music Archive. And that wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope to see you here again in 2 weeks' time when we drop the 10th episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. That's right, the big 1-0 is coming up. We'll be in the double digits, though I guess we kind of were in double digits because I usually put a 0 before the single digit to keep everything looking good in Evernote. But either way, hope to see you here for episode 10 on Cyberpunk Librarian. And I thank you for catching this episode 9 of Cyberpunk Librarian. This is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, and I remind you that you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care. I'll see you next time.